Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson. 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, May 15, 2022, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, we are partway through verse 15. And so far it sounds like this. For the law, that's the Mosaic law, and this is referring, Paul is referring to distortion of the law into a system of salvation by works, brings about wrath. And wrath there is divine judgment from the justice of God. For the law, distortion of the law into a system of salvation by works, brings about wrath. Wrath from the justice of God. This is divine judgment. Now we go on in verse 15, for where no law is, for where no law is, this is the conjunction de plus the adverb who plus the present active indicative of the to be verb a me with the objective negative uk and the nominative singular of namas. Now in the King James it says for, but there is no word for. Rather, what we have is a postpositive conjunction, and that postpositive conjunction is de, D-E. And this is a conjunction of contrast, and it should be correctly translated, but, and de sets up a contrast. What does it set up a contrast? One, it sets up a contrast between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then two, it sets up a contrast between the Mosaic law, which was given to the Jews, and the Gentiles who were not given the Mosaic law. So there's a contrast here. De is a contrast, correctly translated, but contrasting Jews and Gentiles between the Mosaic law, which was given to the Jews, and not given to the Gentiles. And then we have who. And that's the letter H. It's a breathing mark over the word H-O-U. Who? This is an adverb of place. Literally, it refers to a specific place or a locality. However, figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it does not indicate the actual place, but the circumstances. This is Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 594, for those of you who want to go home and look that up. It is correctly translated where. And then namas, again, is the law, the Mosaic law. And then uk esten. That's the objective negative. Uk, this is the to be verb, esten. That's O-U-K-E-S-T-I-N. Uk esten should be translated, does not exist. Corrected translation. But where the Mosaic law does not exist, and where does it not exist? Well, not among the Gentiles. So, but where the Mosaic law does not exist, and it doesn't exist among the Gentiles, a couple of points. One, the Mosaic law was given to the Jews. It was not given to the Gentiles. The Mosaic law was given to the Jews. It was not given to the Gentiles. Two, there were many people in the ancient world who had no contact with the Mosaic law. Many people in the ancient world who had no contact with the Mosaic law. And yet they were saved. Now, it wasn't by the law. They didn't have law. They were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, just as Abraham, when he believed in Christ, he was a Gentile. In fact, he believed in Christ at least 25 years before he became a Jew when he was circumcised at the age of 99. So, he wasn't saved by the Mosaic law. There was no Mosaic law when Abraham was saved. He was a Gentile and he believed in Christ. Mosaic law came with Moses, and he became the first Jew at the age of 99. So there were many people in the ancient world who had no contact with the Mosaic law, including Abram when he believed in Christ. Three, there were many people in the ancient world that had never been exposed to the teaching of the Mosaic law. Now, this is a deep point, but the Mosaic law didn't come until Moses was around. You got that one? That's a deep one, but you might want to get that one down. You had to have Moses before you had the Mosaic law. When Abraham believed in Christ, that was way before Moses. And he was a Gentile. He didn't know anything about the law, but he was saved by his faith in Jesus Christ. But where the Mosaic law does not exist, that is, for example, among the Gentile world, there is no transgression. This is the negative ude plus the nominative singular of parabasis. Ude looks like this. That's O-U-D-E, ude. And ude can mean also no, or also not, or not either, or neither. And then we have parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. Parabasis. And parabasis means a transgression, violation, overstepping, distortion. So this is a transgression of the law, a violation of the law, overstepping of the law, distortion of the law. In our verse, it means also no distortion of the law exists. So the corrected translation, but where the Mosaic law does not exist, i.e., for example, among the entire Gentile world, also no distortion of the law exists. Principle. Since the Mosaic law was not given to the Gentiles, they could not distort it into a system of salvation by works. Since the Mosaic law was not given to the Gentiles, they could not distort it into a system of salvation by works. So the corrected translation of verse 15 sounds like this. For the law, distortion of the law into a system of salvation by works, brings about wrath. This is divine judgment from the justice of God. But where the Mosaic law does not exist, i.e., among the Gentile world, also, no distortion of the law exists. So, verses 13 through 15 now sounds like this in corrected translation. For absolutely not through the works of the law is the promise to Abraham or to his spiritual seed that he was going to be heir of the world, the Abrahamic covenant, but through righteousness by means of faith, faith in Jesus Christ. For if they are heirs by doing the works of the law, first class condition of supposition, for the sake of argument, we will assume they are, then faith in Christ for salvation has been voided in the past with the result that is permanently invalidated and the promise of blessing in the Abrahamic covenant has been canceled. Verse 15, for the law, distortion of the law into a system of salvation by works, brings about wrath, divine judgment from the justice of God. But where the Mosaic law does not exist, i.e., the Gentile world, also no distortion of the law exists. All right, now the conclusion is given in verse 16, and listen, and verse 22. The conclusion of what Paul is teaching here is in verse 16 and verse 22. So verse 16 is the beginning of the conclusion. The conclusion will be completed in verse 22. And what's between verse 16 and verse 22? Verses 17 to 21. I thought you wouldn't know that one. Verses 17 to 21, we have the great parenthesis, all right? The great parenthesis. So, previews of coming attraction. I'm going to take you through the conclusion, which starts in verse 16 and ends in verse 22. So, I'm going to give you the corrected translation that follow along. Verse 16 and then verse 22, the conclusion. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. Grace. Faith and grace go together, not faith and works, faith and grace. So that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham. Not only to the ones who are of the law, that is, Jews who believe in Christ, but also to the ones, Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham. Abraham, what was he when he believed in Christ? A Gentile. Gentiles who believe in Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, for Jews and for Gentiles. That's the beginning of the conclusion. It ends in verse 22. Therefore, also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. So verse 16 starts the conclusion, it ends in verse 22, and in between verses 17 to 21, the great parenthesis. All right, now you know where we're going, where we're headed, what's going on here. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. And of course, for those of you who have your interlinear here, dia tuta ek pistaos hina kata karin, yeah. Good job. This is dia plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular pistis plus the conjunction hina and the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of karis. Now, you're an enlightened congregation. I say dia plus the genitive, what do you say? By means of instrumentality. I say dia plus the accusative. What do you say? Because of, on account of. Yeah. High five. Stay right in there. Keith, just keep coming. If you missed that before, you'll probably hear it again about 100 times unless the Lord calls me home earlier than that. So dia plus the genitive is instrumentality by means of. However, dia plus the accusative is what we have. And it means because of, on account of. And then the neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos is this. So literally, dia tuta means because of this or on account of this. However, aren't in Gingrich. The Greek lexicon, page 601, tells us that diatuta is a Greek idiom, and it should be translated for this reason. For this reason. And so that's how we're going to translate it. For this reason. And then we have the preposition ek plus the genitive, by means of. For this reason, by means of pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S, faith. Faith. Now, I've heard people say, you know, just have faith, brother. Just have faith. Just, well, you could have a million tons of faith. I don't know how you weigh faith, but you could have a million tons of faith and you're not going to be in heaven. It isn't that. It's what do you place your faith in? But the Bible says the faith of a grain of mustard seed, a little bit more than no faith at all in Jesus Christ, secures eternal salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith goes with grace. Salvation is by grace. For by grace you are saved. How? By works. No, okay, just seeing if you had fallen asleep on me here. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have ek plus the genitive by means of pistis, faith. This is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So, one, salvation is always by means of faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. Now, there's a lot of religions. There's religions all over the world. And where do they come from? From Satan. The ruler of this earth invented religion. What did he say in Isaiah? I will be like the Most High God. He said, I will be like the Most High God. His objective is to counterfeit God. God has plan of salvation, operation grace. The devil says, I will be like the Most High God, and he invented religion. So we got religions all over the world. And no one will be in heaven. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's faith in Christ. So all these religions and all the different people you put in there, they are not saviors. None of them solved the world problem of sin. None of them were impeccable or sinless perfection. None of them were qualified to be a savior. There's only one member of the human race, true humanity, who's qualified to be the savior and solve the world problem of sin. Jesus Christ, the impeccable God-man. Salvation is always by means of faith in Jesus Christ. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Gautama, the little fat guy. But faith in Jesus Christ. Two, salvation is never by man's works. Salvation is never by man's works. We studied this, Romans 3, verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no one, not one human being, shall be declared righteous in his judgment or thinking. For by means of the law is the knowledge of sin. We have become conscious of the fact that we are sinners. And then verse 28. So then, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, by means of faith, totally apart from the works of the law. And then, one of the great passages, Galatians 2:16. Turn over to Galatians 2:16. And you would expect to find this verse in Galatians 2, because what is the whole purpose of the epistle to the Galatians? Legalism. They were they were being tripped up by legalism. Legalists, Judaizers come along. A lot of these people, they were saved by faith in Christ. And then the legalists come along, the Judaizers, and tripped them up. Got them involved in legalism. And they were crashing and burning. And so the epistle to the Galatians is a great doctrinal dissertation on the evil of legalism and the fantastic grace of God. That's Galatians. So Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified. What is that? That's dikaiō. He's not declared righteous by the works of the law. But how is he declared righteous? But through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified, declared righteous by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh, not one human being, will be justified or declared righteous. Can't get any more dogmatic than that. Galatians 2:16. So salvation is always by means of faith in Christ. Salvation is never by means of man's works. Romans 3:20 and 28, Galatians 2:16. So we have, for this reason, salvation is by means of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And then the conjunction hina is used without without a finite verb, which can be supplied from the context. Arndt and Gingrich again, page 379. So he's translated, in order that it might be, in order that it might be, and then kata plus the accusative of karis. Kata plus the accusative, according to the norms and standards of, in accordance with, in conformity with, and then the great, great word. Charis. Charis. Now I have a granddaughter. Her name is Sophia Wisdom. Charis, grace. Can't get any better than that. Just hope that in the process of growing up, she learns everything about Sophia Charis, what her name stands for. Wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in the soul. Charis, grace, grace, grace. This is the plan of God. This is the policy of God. What does grace emphasize? Who and what God is. Not who and what we are. Who and what God is. That's grace. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. Kata plus the accusative. According to the norms and standards of something. In accordance with, in conformity with. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. When you study the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, and you learn who and what God is, you learn about His plan, His policy. And then you have a good understanding of who and what you are, who and what we are. You will come to the conclusion that God is everything. The living and true God is everything, and we are nothing. When you finally get that nailed down, that the living and true God is everything and we are nothing, you know what? Now you're ready to move out. Now you're ready to orient to gate, to grace. All that you have and all that you are is because of the grace of God, not because of you. God didn't look at you and say, aha, you are so intelligent. I'm going to give you special blessing. He also does not say, you are so dumb, you're going to hell. He doesn't say that either. It isn't who and what we are. You are so athletic. Oh, why? I'm going to let you into heaven. Then he looked at somebody else and said, you are the most unathletic thing I have ever seen walk the face of the earth. It isn't who and what we are. It's who and what God is. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. Then the King James says, we always start with that, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. This is eis ta plus the infinitive, plus the to be verb, the infinitive of the to be verb eimi, plus the accusative singular of epangelion, the definite article, accusative singular of babaios, and the dative singular of sperma with the dative definite article modified by pos. Eis ta plus the infinitive. That just warms the cockles of any pastor who studies from the original languages. And you know what? This doesn't happen that often. That's exactly how it looks in Greek and in English. Aren't you happy about that? Eis ta plus the infinitive introduces a purpose clause. For the purpose that, in order that, so that. And then epangelia. Epangelia, E-P-A-N-G-E-L-I-A, epangelia. Epangelia with the definite article means the promise, and this is the promise of salvation. The accusative case is, this is the accusative, is called the accusative of general reference, and that means it serves as the subject of the infinitive. Remember, we had eis ta plus the infinitive of eimi, introducing a purpose clause. It has a subject. That subject's always in the accusative case, the accusative of general reference, subject of the infinitive. And then babaios. B-E-B-A-I-O-S. Babaios. Babaios comes from the verb bebaiao. That's B-E-B-A-I-O, long O. See that? That's always important. A-O ending. That's always a causative ending. Bebaios comes from the verb bebaio, which means to make firm, to establish, to make something certain. To make firm, to establish, to make something certain. Therefore, bebaios means reliable, dependable, certain, guaranteed, sure, valid. All of this is what the babaios means. And then sperma, literally it means seed, the seeds of plants or the male seed of semen. Figuratively, it refers to descendants, children, posterity. Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek Lexicon, page 769, says sperma refers to the spiritual sons of Abraham, all the ones who have salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you are the spiritual son of Abraham through salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Sperma is modified by the adjective pos, to all the seed, to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, to every Jew and every Gentile who believes in Jesus Christ. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham. Not to that only which is of the law, This is the objective negative u with the neuter of the adjective monos plus the dative of the definite article and the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive of nomos and the definite article. Now, when the adjective monos is in the neuter, here's monos. M-O-N-O-S. When it's in the neuter, it's monon. M-O-N-O-N. We have the neuter. I'm neuter. And that's a whole different thing, a neuter. And the thing is, this is a congregation that if I slip up, you're so far in the gutter that you... You retranslate the Bible. This is the neuter, and umanon means not only, and not only to the ones who are, and then eknamas, who are of the law. So not only to the ones who are of the law. Who are the ones who are of the law? Jews. Jews who believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And there have been millions of Jews who have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Christ for eternal salvation, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. And now we take the Gentiles. When did Abraham believe in Christ? As a Gentile. So now we bring in the Gentile. This is the conjunction Allah plus Chi plus the dative of the definite article plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular pistis and the proper noun Avraham. Allah is a conjunction of contrast, but it sets up a contrast between Jews who believe in Christ and Gentiles who believe in Christ. So this last phrase is referring to Gentiles who believe in Christ because Abraham was a Gentile when he believed in Christ. Abraham believed in Jesus Christ as a Gentile. Abraham was an Akkadian Gentile who lived in Ur of the Chaldees when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Abraham was saved by faith in Christ as a Gentile sometime before he was 75 years old. And Abraham did not become a Jew until 99 years of age at his circumcision. And then the conjunction chi is the junctive also. Once again, the definite article is the dative, and the dative functions as a relative pronoun. But also to the ones, the Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham. So the corrected translation, not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Christ for salvation, but also to the ones, Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham. Gentiles who believe in Christ for salvation. And then it concludes, who, Abraham, is the father of all. This is the relative pronoun host, the present active indicative ami, the nominative singular pater, the genitive plural of pos with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The relative pronoun host refers back to its antecedent. The antecedent is Abraham with the verb ami, who is. And Abraham, who is the pater, the father, the ancestor, the progenitor, the pattern. Abraham is the pattern of salvation. And then panton hamon, for all of us. Abraham is the pattern of salvation for all of us, for all mankind, whether you're Jew or Gentile. So the corrected translation, for this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Christ for salvation, but also to the ones, Gentiles, who are of the faith of Abraham. Gentiles who believe in Christ for salvation. Who, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. Isn't that a great verse? That's a great verse. We're not much of a hallelujah, brother. That's all right. Amen, Pastor Olson. Now, I did hear Magnum sing on that one song. The word was magnified. He thought it was magnamide. All right. Well, this is a great verse, and right in there with Galatians 2:16. We'll pick it up here next time with our heads bowed. Father, we're always amazed at your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you in the Word this morning. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.